The late Shimon Peres advice we played earlier this hour, read three times a day instead of eating three times a day. It's better to be wise than fat. The line got a laugh when Peres said it years ago. But the same sentiment in a much nastier context was part of the Clinton-Trump debate this week.
One of the worst things he said was about a woman in a beauty contest. He loves beauty contests, supporting them and hanging around them. And he called this woman Miss Piggy.
Donald Trump's response the next day? Let's just say not an apology. Here he is calling into the Fox News show Fox and Friends.
She was a Miss Universe contestant and ultimately a winner who they had a tremendously difficult time with as Miss Universe. She was the winner and, you know, she gained a massive amount of weight and it was a real problem.
Most women in the U.S. are above a size 14 in clothes, 67% to be exact. But just 2% of women shown in media images are anything other than skinny. Retailers like Macy's offer only 15.6% of garments at so-called plus size. For JCPenney's, it's 16.1%. A lifestyle and fashion blog, Refinery29, along with Getty Images, is launching Project 67%, a bid to get a greater variety of body types into the media and make their collection of photos available to media outlets to close what they call the representation gap. But Amanda Cherniowski, who worked for 2.5 years as a model and wrote a book, Fashioning Fat, Inside Plus Size Modeling, says more images will help. But for her, it's a real head-scratcher how much money is being wasted on racks of clothes most women simply can't wear.
It's a $20-plus billion opportunity for designers, and they are not cashing in. And I would argue that it's because of fear. And there are two dimensions of this fear. The first element, a fear of the stigma of fat, not wanting their clothes to be on people that they don't think are good enough to wear their clothes. And we saw these infamous cases with Karl Lagerfeld, with Mike Jeffries of Abercrombie & Fitch. But also the second element is a fear of failure. Because the fact of the matter is, it's actually more difficult to design a garment for a plus-size body because it comes in so many different shapes. And design schools are not preparing their students for this.
So if you are going to a retailer and you have, you know, a demand for something higher than a size 14, what predicament are you finding on the rack?
Well, you're finding a lack of clothing. There are no options in store or very few. Or you have to go online. And the problem is, women need to try on clothes because sizes mean nothing. There's no standardization at all in the industry. What one designer calls a size 8 could be a size 12 in another designer. And so it brings another level of inconvenience for the consumer. And that's why a lot of plus size women themselves are going into the design field because they're frustrated with their own shopping experience. I can't find things that are on trend. I can't find things that flatter my particular body type. So I'm going to make clothes for myself. And because of the internet, they can. And so you see a burgeoning area of online plus size boutiques emerging.
What's going to change this broadly? Is it a matter of more images of women who are plus sized? I mean, what would you make of, for instance, the campaign by Dove that's been around for a while now?
Yeah, the Dove campaign has been around for many, many years now. And it really hasn't been until the last couple of years that we've seen the focus on the plus size sector of the fashion world. I mean, 2015 was huge. So the hope is that this continues and it's not just a media spectacle, a spectacle to just boost sales temporarily, but it becomes normalized.
What do you think of this lifestyle and fashion blog company, Refinery29, that's working with, you know, major photo outlets, Getty Images, to create an archive of plus size images that would appear, you know, outside of fashion, that would appear in other sorts of contexts to remind people of, you know, who the majority actually is?
I think it's a great initiative to make visible that invisible majority. because we don't see larger bodies anywhere, even within the plus size sector of the fashion world. The types of plus size bodies we see are at the smaller end of the spectrum, the size 10s, 12s, maybe 14. So even trying to expand the plus size definition itself would be a huge step.
Isn't the domination of certain women in the fashion journalism industry part of the problem? I mean, I can imagine Anna Wintour, you know, at Vogue, looking at one of these plus size images and going, well, it's fine, but, you know, isn't she a little, you know what I mean? Big? I mean,
or fat.
Right,
you
exactly.
can say fat.
Exactly. I mean, I feel as though there's such a, I mean, maybe there's this archive, but will anyone actually use it?
I hope they will. I hope that, you know, we've had a broadening of our perspectives and an increase in the conversation that people are more willing to say that, hey, you know, this is the reality. They just released a report that no longer are the average American woman a size 14, but somewhere now a 16, 18. Mm. So the reality is, you know what? We are larger. Get with the program.
What's the sociological dimension of this, since you are a professor of sociology at Temple University?
You know, it really has a lot to do with the stigma. You know, the stigma of fat. We are so afraid. It's one of those other dirty F words in our culture. And we have to fight against that. Get over it. Get over ourselves.
What did you make of Donald Trump being a boor here and talking about the weight gain of a Miss Universe contestant?
Well, I must tell you, when I remember when I was a little girl seeing the headlines about a Miss Universe winner who was ridiculed for her weight gain and possibly could have lost her crown, I was appalled. But now, having seen the insides of the fashion industry for my research for my book, I understand.
Do you think women will punish Donald Trump politically for the Miss Universe statements? And will they punish him any more than some of the other statements he's made about women?
I think those kinds of statements where you're disparaging a woman for their body, I think that women will take great offense to that. Because women are judged greatly for their looks, for their bodies. That's one thing that women are taught to be very critical of. And so they don't want to hear any person criticizing another for their bodies or for their looks. So there could be some pushback because of that.
Dr. Amanda Czerniawski is the author of Fashioning Fat, Inside Plus Size Modeling. She's also Associate Professor of Sociology at Temple University in Philadelphia. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you very much.
My name is Desi Conrad, and I live in South Carolina. And my body type is never reflected in media. Even plus-size models, who I should add, aren't plus-size, don't have my body type. Fashion regularly doesn't fit me, and media regularly makes me feel really terrible about my figure and the way I look.
Savannah, Georgia, I constantly struggle with the idea of how I should look. In college, I was hospitalized for anorexia, and I am saddened to admit that I've passed this anxiety on to my children. Our number is 877-8-MY-TAKE. Comment on Facebook at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.